The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, Bleeding Green Nation, and welcome back to another edition of Eye on the Enemy, powered by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I'm your host, John Stolness. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. And coming up, we're going to preview this weekend's Eagles-Raiders game with Matt Holder, who's a writer for the Raiders SB Nation site Silver and Black Pride. We're going to get into all of the key matchups coming up here in the next few minutes and get his thoughts on what the Raiders are going to be facing when they take on the Birds. Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, what does he think about what we got going on here in Philadelphia? So we're going to tackle that coming up next. Also, the Eagles' schedule gets a whole lot easier from here on out. How many games are they going to win the rest of the way? And could this be a schedule that allows them to actually potentially maybe finish with a winning record? Maybe potentially squeak into the postseason? I'll run down the schedule for you and how I see things shaking out here over the last 11 games of the season. But first, the Eagles don't get out to Las Vegas all that often. In fact, this is their first ever trip out to Vegas, and they'll be taking on the Raiders, a pretty good Raiders team that has a chance to go to 5-2 this Sunday against the 2-4 Eagles, two teams kind of moving in opposite directions. Although things have not been without its drama in Las Vegas over the last couple of weeks. So joining me to help break down this game and give us a temperature check on where the Raiders are right now is Matt Holder. He's a writer for the Raiders SB Nation site Silver and Black Pride. You can follow him on Twitter at mholder95. Matt, thanks for coming on Eye on the Enemy, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. And so I'm curious where the Raiders Nation, you know, head is right now because of all the stuff that went on with John Gruden over the last couple of weeks. I was impressed that they beat the Broncos last week. I really felt like on the same week as all the John Gruden stuff was going down that they wouldn't get up for that game, but they did. They got up and they beat a Broncos team that is getting a little bit better. The Broncos aren't great yet, but it was a divisional game, and you know the Raiders came to play. So what was your takeaway? Did you expect them to do as well as they did last week?
No, I mean, I was definitely in with you. I was very surprised. I thought, you know, all the distractions that happened with the week and dealing with a new coach. And the other thing that was underrated about it is Greg Olsen didn't know he was going to be calling plays until Monday night, right? So normally you like to start the game plan, you know, in the morning and whatnot. But I was pleasantly surprised with how the Raiders came out. Like you said, I figured they'd come out flat and all the stuff going on. And yeah, I mean, they ended up coming out and having their best game of the year and starting off the game fast, which has been an issue for them all year. And again, did not expect that with all the adversity going on. And the offense looked a lot different. The offense was a lot more modern and whatnot and doing a lot more play action, getting the running backs involved in the passing game. So a lot of good to be seen without John Gruden, which was, again, a big surprise.
Yeah, so, I mean, is Raiders Nation angry at what went down? Are they upset? Is it kind of like a just resignation to it? How are Raiders fans taking it all?
Well, I think it's kind of split. You know, anytime you get that many people in one group, obviously people are going to have different opinions. I think one of the things for me that has reigned true, and I think that probably a lot of people feeling, is some people feel kind of betrayed a little bit by John Gruden. You know, I think even dating back to his Monday Night Football days when he was on the national stage, he always kind of presented that persona of like this happy-go-lucky guy that all he cares about is football and yada yada, you know, great personality, someone that you can easily like. And then, you know, obviously those emails were a little bit contradictory to do that. And so I think there's a feeling of kind of shock and betrayal almost, like we've been lied to a little bit. But I definitely think for the most part, you know, the Raiders have always been an organization that's prided itself on diversity and inclusion, which John Gruden's emails did not or went against that and whatnot. Yeah. But I do think most people are right now are kind of starting to move on, starting to understand, you know, Gruden's not going to be around and kind of feeling it's a good thing at this point. And I definitely think a big win, like we were talking about at the beginning, helped that out.
Tell us a little bit about Rich Bisaccia, who took over as head coach. Obviously, he's the interim guy, was the special teams coach. How are the Raiders kind of piecing this together in the wake of Gruden being gone?
Yeah, so Bisaccia, obviously, like you said, took over as the interim head coach. He was the assistant head coach before Gruden had gone over or had exited, we'll say. And he'd been around the league for a while. I believe he's in his 60s and whatnot. This is his first head coaching job and had been looking for a head coaching job. So awesome to see him get his first win. Defensively, I mean, nothing's really changing from the beginning of the season. You know, it's still going to be Gus Bradley. He's still calling the shots. And as you guys have probably taken notice, the Raiders defense is a lot improved from what it's been over the last few years. And then offensively, yeah, with Greg Olsen calling the plays, we've only had one game, and this was the first time he had even called plays in about 6 years, dating back to his days with the Jaguars and Blake Bortles. And, you know, his last 4 years here with the Raiders, Gruden's been calling the plays. But definitely looked a little bit different, like I was talking about, a lot more play action, a lot more modern offense. So be interesting to see how much that sticks and if they can continue that success on Sunday.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting too for Jonathan Gannon, the Eagles defensive coordinator, what team he's going to be preparing for, because obviously there's all those games under Gruden doing it one way, and then you mentioned like last week more play action. Going to be, you know, is it going to be a totally different identity now with Gruden out of there, or was it just kind of a one-week thing? It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out, and really I guess only time's going to tell on that one. Let's talk about your quarterback, Derek Carr. You know, he's one of those guys that I think flashes brilliance and can get on hot streaks and play really well, but he strikes me as kind of a mid-tier guy. Can he be a championship level quarterback? Like, is Derek Carr a guy who can take the Raiders to the Super Bowl?
Well, that's the $25 million question that the Raiders have to answer in the offseason, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think before this season, I definitely would agree with you. Definitely would have felt that Derek Carr was kind of that mid-tier quarterback who, when things are going right, he can be really good and help supplement your team and elevate you and whatnot. But when things aren't perfect, when the situation isn't going well, he kind of struggled. But it's been the exact opposite this year. He's been amazing this year. He's had all but about, we'll say, 1.5 games. I'll give him half the game against the Chargers. He's looked pretty good. And then there was the debacle against the Bears, which kind of was the start of the wake of the whole Gruden stuff. So who knows how much that played a factor into his performance and the whole team's performance and whatnot. But I do think Derek Carr is playing extremely well this year and playing like an MVP candidate this year. We talked about all the adversity that's gone on this year. The Raiders have also had a ton of issues at offensive line. They kind of came into the year after dismantling it in the offseason with a weaker offensive line, then lost Rinchy Incognito in training camp, then Denzel Good, who was the other starting right guard as well. And they have a center in Andre James, who before this year had one start to his name and obviously was inexperienced. And then we're playing Alex Leatherwood at right tackle, who was a rookie. And I mean, Carr has stood through the face of it all and been extremely good and been one of the better quarterbacks in this league this year and playing his best football as of late. So I'd say in the offseason, in about August, I definitely would agree with you, but the way he's been playing this year, I don't know. I feel like he's getting up in there in that top tier of quarterbacks.
All right, well, this, I guess, be a good test for him this week against an Eagles pass rush that I think on the interior, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, that can pose some problems. But coming from the edge, the Eagles really haven't had much going on there, although it has picked up in recent weeks. Josh Sweat had a sack last week, and it looks like some of the other guys are starting to slowly get things going there on the outside. But let's talk about those battles in the trenches. And you mentioned Alex Leatherwood playing much better here over the last couple of weeks. Do the Raiders have enough on the inside to counteract the Eagles' defensive tackles, Cox and Hargrave, or is this a, you know, who has the edge in this this one set of matchups here in the trenches?
Yeah, that's definitely the biggest matchup that worries me as a Raider fan is the Javon Hargrave and Fletcher Cox versus John Simpson, Andre James, and Alex Leatherwood. All three of the guys for the Raiders have really struggled in pass protection, struggled across the board. And then, you know, Fletcher Cox is a former All-Pro, and Javon Hargrave is playing like one of the best interior pass rushers in the league. So that's definitely something where if we're thinking about an upset, about the Eagles pulling off the win, I think that's going to play the big factor, and that will be the biggest difference right there. That's definitely something that I'm pretty concerned about. As far as on the outside, Brandon Parker is another guy who has been around for a while but has really struggled and kind of taken over for Alex Leatherwood at right tackle, because Alex Leatherwood was one of the worst tackles in the NFL in pass protection this year so far. But Brandon Parker has been better but still not quite as good. Be interested to see how Josh Sweat does against him. I'd imagine they'll put Sweat on his side. I'm not sure how much they rotate, or the Eagles rotate, excuse me. But the only guy that I'm really confident in is going to be Colton Miller, and that's kind of been the case all season. Colton Miller's the Raiders' left tackle, and he's been a stalwart so far, one of the better young tackles in the league. But those interior guys, they're keeping me up at night this week, and I'm sure they're keeping Greg Olsen and Tom Cable up, the Raiders' offensive line coach. A lot of nightmares so far. So that's, I think, going to be one of the biggest keys and key matchups in the game this week.
Let's also flip things around a little bit. And I mean, let's talk about some of the skill position guys that the Raiders have. And obviously, I think at wideout, there's a number of intriguing guys. Henry Ruggs is obviously having a terrific start to his season. 445 yards so far receiving on 20 catches. He's got two touchdowns, 22.3 yards per reception. That's pretty great. And I know he obviously has a connection with Devontae Smith. I know Devontae was basically trying to get, he's going to be giving Eagles defensive, the defensive coordinator, the defensive backs, some tips and hints. But I mean, you know, talent is going to really matter more than anything else here. But, you know, this feels like between Ruggs, between Hunter Renfro, who's really emerging as an excellent receiver, and Darren Waller at tight end. Man, for an Eagles defensive secondary that struggles outside of Darius Slay, the Eagles are starting to make some plays. They are starting to get some turnovers here in recent weeks, which has been a real problem for this team over the years. But really just kind of a vanilla defense the Eagles have. And this to me feels like a matchup advantage for Las Vegas. What about you?
Yeah, I'd agree. I think the key is going to be how the Eagles want to attack Waller. If they're going to do bracket coverage or double team Waller like a lot of teams have tried, that's been good at shutting Waller down or slowing Waller down, but it hasn't helped to, you know, take care of the guys that you just mentioned, the Hunter Renfros, the Henry Ruggs. That's kind of where you've seen a lot of the deep shots to Ruggs come from, because the safety is on Waller, and so there's kind of this free reign for him to run down the field and use that 4.27 speed, and hopefully your corner brought his PF flyers, because Devontae Smith can tell him everything they need to know, but can't make them any faster. So
that's right.
That's going to kind of be the key. I think if I find the Eagles, what I probably try and do is probably put Slay on Waller and treat Waller basically like a wide receiver. That way, if there's any chance, you can maybe take away Waller or at least slow him down with a one-on-one matchup, and then take away guys like Hunter Renfro and Henry Ruggs as well. But that's going to be tough to do, because Waller is still 6'7", about 250, and can probably bully Darius Slay a little bit, and he can still get open. He's one of those guys that's a matchup nightmare, that can be too big for DBs, too fast for linebackers, and all that stuff. So I'm interested to see how it works. Like you said, Darius Slay is kind of the guy that really worries me, that I think can maybe erase somebody or one of the Raiders' weapons potentially. And then I'm interested to see how Avante Maddox and Henry Renfro, how that battle works out. But again, yeah, I definitely feel like that's going to favor the Raiders a little bit with how the Eagles secondary has struggled in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, and I think Slay probably will be on Ruggs most of the time. I doubt they'll put him on the tight end, but that terrifies me, because, you know, I look at who the Eagles have at linebacker, you know, and Alex Singleton, boy, oh boy, he Alex Singleton's a guy who makes a lot of tackles, but usually gets dragged 6 yards downfield as he's making the tackle pretty much every time. And, you know, TJ Edwards, Eric Wilson, you know, Jannard Avery, these are all guys that play hard, but they just don't have the physicality to hang with a guy like Waller. So, I mean, maybe you put Steven Nelson on him. Maybe you use Avante Maddox on Waller at different times, because Maddox has actually had a pretty good year as a slot corner. But like you mentioned, you know, you said it yourself. I mean, they actually have, the Raiders have a slot corner that is dangerous as well. So that's a big nightmare for the Eagles. But I do feel like one of the Eagles' defensive issues this year has been stopping the run game, and it's been there pretty much every week. But as I look at Las Vegas's, and if I drop into occasional Oakland's, which I probably have already done, it's just decades repetition. If they're gonna have an advantage anywhere here, I do think that the Eagles' run defense can handle Las Vegas's running back in their backfield. Does Vegas have a running game? I know Kenyon Drake, Josh Jacobs, they're averaging under 4 yards a carry. Is this an area where Las Vegas really needs to kind of pound the rock, or are they going to look to go to the air?
Yeah, I think they're going to look to go to the air. I think, you know, across the board, talking about the Raiders as a whole, even defensively, they're a team that is built for the modern NFL, that is built for the passing game, both offensively and defensively. I definitely think the Eagles can have an advantage, or the Eagles defense can have an advantage over the Raiders offense on the ground game. The Raiders offensive line, as much as I talked about how they've struggled in pass protection, they've also struggled to run block too, which is two things that are a little important for the offensive line. But I definitely think the Eagles can have an advantage there. The Raiders run game this year has been pretty much non-existent. Although I will say, going back to last week, it looked a lot better too. It seemed to be a common theme, but yeah, it's definitely not an area of strength for the Raiders. I think they average like 3.3 yards per carry as a team, which is like, if not the worst in the NFL, bottom three, bottom five kind of deal. So it's definitely an area of weakness for the Raiders, and one, again, with the Eagles front seven against the Raiders offensive line, something that the Eagles probably have a little bit of an advantage of heading into Sunday.
Let's flip to the other side of the football. And I always ask everyone who comes on this podcast what they think about Jalen Hurts, because obviously this, I think he's got 1 year to prove himself. They have all these first round picks next year. Looks like they're going to have three based on how Carson Wentz is playing. So they have the ammunition to move up in the draft if they need to. They may not even need to if you want to draft a quarterback, but it's not a great quarterback class. Or they could use some of these picks for a veteran quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. I know there was linkage to Deshaun Watson again this week. I still think that's a lot of smokescreen, but they have 1 year. Jalen Hurts has really 1 year to prove himself here. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation. Is it the problems with the Eagles offense? Is it more Jalen Hurts or Nick Sirianni? I think we can agree that neither are helping the other out at this point. What to you is the biggest tension point here with the Eagles offense? Is it the quarterback or the head coach, or, you know, again, a little bit of both?
Well, I think it's definitely a situation where if you bring in an offensive-minded head coach, where you can't completely absolve them of blame. But I will say I am a big draft nut and was never very high on Jalen Hurts. I know he got some buzz towards the end of the draft process and obviously ended up being a second-round pick. For me, you know, he's a guy that I've always loved the guy. I love the story. You know, I think he's a great competitor and he has all the intangibles you want. But he doesn't have the tangibles you want. He has he is a good runner and whatnot, but I don't really trust him as a thrower. I mean, he's never been terribly accurate, never had the greatest arm strength, not to say that he has a weak arm or anything, but those are two obviously pretty important things if you are going to play quarterback in this league, is being able to throw the ball. So I think for me, I've probably got to put a little bit more on Jalen Hurts. I was just watching that the clip on Twitter not too long ago of him doing like 360s in the pocket with no pressure around him, which is
which is
concerning and whatnot. Not exactly what you're looking for from your quarterback. Not the best pocket presence, but I'm not, like, again, like Jalen Hurts' story, like him as a person, he seems like a really good guy, but I just don't know how much I care about him as a running back or as a quarterback. But I think to your point of what you're talking about with the coaching staff, I think the one thing that the Eagles can do is try and get him involved in the running game a little bit more, try and get him to get some more momentum going, which I know is obviously kind of backwards thinking in the NFL and never want your quarterback running more and taking hits. But I feel like he's a guy that kind of has to play with his feet a little bit first, get comfortable, get some momentum, get some rhythm, and then kind of open things up with the pass. And that's kind of how he's got to be. And I think that's one of the biggest things the Eagles coaching staff has kind of failed to do so far, at least this season, is not get him involved in the running game as much.
Well, and even and every time anyone talks about the Eagles offense, and every time anybody talks about Nick Sirianni, they always preface everything with saying, look, I'm not a establish the run guy, which I think we can, when we're talking about the offense, I think we can all accept none of us are just run the ball guys, but to only run your star running back, Miles Sanders, who is not a scrub, he's a guy who can play a little bit one time in the first half, kind of does a disservice to your quarterback. When you don't even give your offense a second dimension, it makes the job for the quarterback that much harder. And so I am certainly not convinced by in any way that Jalen Hurts is the quarterback of the future. I would love for him to be, because I'd love to see the Eagles take those first round draft picks this offseason and use it to fill other holes on the team. But I don't feel like we've been even able to get a true sense of how good he is or how good he isn't, because the play calling and the game planning by Sirianni and the staff has been just brutal. It's been absolutely terrible. And so I'm curious to see if this week is finally the week he'll start to use his running backs out of the backfield. How do the Raiders prepare for this offense, knowing that the Eagles have not tried to establish the run in any way, shape, or form with a set of running backs in Miles Sanders and Kenny Gainwell, who've shown that they can do a little bit of something?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. It's a tough one to answer, because I think if you're Gus Bradley right now, you have to look at the tape and, you know, see what they've been doing, which is obviously the opposite of what we're talking about here. But you also have to realize they haven't had a whole lot of success, so they could throw something at you that's completely different. So I think that's kind of comes where the challenge of being a coach, and especially being a coach in the NFL, comes in. But I definitely think if the Eagles are going to be smart, they're going to try and get involved a little bit more in the running game. Like we were talking about, that's not exactly a strength for the Raiders right now, especially defensively. But the biggest thing for me, I think that probably plays partially into why the Eagles have been calling the play calls that they have, is they played from behind for the majority of the game, so it's a lot harder to run the ball when you're down two possessions and whatnot. So I think that's going to be kind of a big part too, is to get that offense going early again, probably establish the run, because the Eagles are efficient when they do run the ball. I was surprised to see that this week when I was doing my research. I think they're top five in yards per carry as a team, but obviously when you're down two scores, it's a little bit harder to establish the run at that point.
Well, and when you do, like in the fourth quarter of the Tampa Bay game, when Miles Sanders finally got the ball a bit and started running, when you're down by two scores, teams are more willing to let you run the ball.
Right.
Even if you're picking up seven chunks at a time, because it's going to take time off the clock to do that. I know one of the other matchups that you'd written about that we should be keeping an eye on is Max Crosby against Lane Johnson. Obviously, Lane Johnson coming back this week after dealing with some anxiety and depression issues. And when he's on, he's one of the best right tackles in the game. But we don't exactly know what we're going to get out of Lane Johnson this week. And Max Crosby is a pretty dynamic pass rusher. Let's talk a little bit about that matchup. How much of an advantage is that for Las Vegas?
Well, I think it depends on what you're talking about. You know, how good of shape is Lane Johnson going to be in? Is he going to be the same guy that he's been in the last few years, which is one of the best right tackles in the NFL? Or is he going to look like a guy that's taken the last or hasn't played in the last 3 weeks and whatnot, and a little bit slower than normal? Because one of the things that makes Max Crosby such a great player is his get off and his athleticism and how much speed he just has around the edge. And then from there, he can turn that into speed and power. I hesitate to say that it is an advantage for the Raiders, just because I do respect the hell out of Lane Johnson and what he's been able to do over the last, you know, 10 years or whatever it's been. And like I said, been one of the best right tackles. I do think, you know, having Max Crosby play the whole year, and, you know, like we were talking about, like I was talking about at the beginning, and maybe Lane Johnson isn't in quite as good a shape as he was in week one, I do think it'll slightly favor the Raiders, but it is definitely something that I'm just looking forward just to watching as a football fan, regardless of any sort of teams. Cause I mean, there aren't many times where you get two guys who are, some of the best at their position that get to go out at all games. So it'll be a fun one to watch, and definitely another one of those key matchups that I think will play a big factor in the game.
All right, well, let's get down to it here. Let's get to some prediction time, Matt. How do you see this thing shaking out on Sunday afternoon?
I think the Raiders are going to win this one. I don't mean to disappoint you guys that much, but I'll be honest. I'm not terribly worried about the Eagles. You know, like we're talking about them being 2-4. It seems like they're kind of still trying to figure out the identity of the team and whatnot. But being a Raiders fan for the last 20 years, I also know that I can't take anything for granted. So I think there's definitely an upset potential if the Eagles can start to establish the run early on and end up playing a little bit of ball control and keeping the Raiders off the field. But ultimately, I do think the Raiders are going to be a little bit too much. And I'll say 31-21 Raiders win, heading to 5-2 in the bye week.
Yeah, I'm going to give my prediction here in just a minute, but I'm not predicting an Eagles victory either. I just feel like, you know, this. I think the Raiders are pretty good. And the only thing that concerns me for the Raiders is, and I know there are many folks, on, many of them write for our website, who do not believe in the letdown game theory, but as an Eagles fan, I've seen it happen many times over the course of 25 years watching the football team. And to me, this is a week where, you know, it was a very emotional week for the Raiders last week. You know, you're playing a divisional opponent. And everything going on, and now you come in this week, and it's a non-conference opponent. I wonder if the emotions are not quite where they were last week. And to me, that's if a team's going to suffer an emotional letdown, it can be coming down the mountain off of getting revved up for last week's game with all the turmoil and controversy going on there in Vegas. So if the Eagles are going to pull this off, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be largely a result of maybe the Raiders playing some sloppy football, some penalties, some turnovers, that sort of thing. I don't think this is a game where if the Raiders play well, the Eagles can outplay them in any way. So,
yeah. Well, the Raiders are susceptible to their fair share of penalties. That's kind of been the theme throughout basically since the franchise's inception. So
yeah, exactly. Well, the Eagles are the Eagles are out raidering the Raiders in terms of penalties this year. So I'm a little bit worried. If you're going to take an over under on penalties called in this game, you got to shoot the over, I would imagine. I mean, that's a no brainer. All right, folks, look. Make sure you are checking out everything going on over at Silver and Black Pride to get the latest on the Raiders ahead of this weekend's matchup against the Birds. Follow Matt Holder on Twitter at mholder95. Matt, thanks for coming on Eye on the Enemy, buddy. I appreciate it.
No problem. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, up next, according to ESPN, the Eagles have the easiest schedule of any team in the NFL the rest of the way. How many games can they reasonably be expected to win? I'll tackle that coming up next here on Eye on the Enemy.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
And we're back on Eye on the Enemy. So let's take a look at the Eagles' schedule the rest of the way. And Bill Barnwell sent out a tweet earlier in the week noting that so far this year, the Eagles have played the third toughest schedule in the NFL. They have the easiest schedule in the NFL from here on out. And I know we've watched the Eagles. We've watched their game plans. We've watched Nick Sirianni seemingly over his head. I agree with Jimmy Kempsky, who mentioned this on BGN Radio earlier this week. I do think Nick Sirianni has appeared to be over his head so far in his very brief coaching tenure with the Birds. But I have not been enthused by anything I've seen from him outside of the week one game plan that he had weeks and weeks to prepare for. But the Eagles really have faced a litany of really hard teams. They faced the last two Super Bowl participants in the Tampa Bay Bucs and Kansas City Chiefs, and two Super Bowl contenders in the 49ers and Cowboys. Those are their four losses so far this year. Their wins have come against the Atlanta Falcons and Carolina Panthers, and I think the Panthers are kind of crashing back to earth. We know the Falcons are bad. What we've seen from this Eagles team so far is that they are not nearly good enough to beat good teams, but they are good enough to beat bad teams. And so, How many games can this team win the rest of the way? They're 2-4 right now. Do they have a schedule that's easy enough for them to finish with a winning record or to even potentially sneak into the playoffs? It all starts this weekend with the Eagles against the Raiders in Las Vegas. I'm going to give you that prediction coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But then the Eagles travel to Detroit to take on the Lions. Now, entering this week's play, Detroit is 0-5. They are not going to get their first win of the season this weekend against the Rams. So the Eagles will likely head into Detroit against an 0-6 Lions team that does feel like they're on the way up just a little bit. Now, Jared Goff has the ability to get hot, but he's still largely a bad quarterback. And although I think that the Lions can beat the Eagles in this game, certainly, and I don't think they're as bad as their record indicates right now. They've been close in every single game so far. I do feel like they're a team on the way up, but not in week 8. I think the Eagles will go into Detroit and beat the Lions, so that'll be a victory there. Week 9, the Chargers come to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. I'm sorry, Justin Herbert against the Eagles defense is just not a fair fight at this moment, so I have that as a loss for the Birds. In week 10, the Eagles go to Denver to take on the Broncos, and I think this is one of the trickier games left on the schedule, because I still don't know exactly what Denver is right now. Their 3 wins are against the Giants, the Jags, and the Jets. 3 pretty terrible teams, right? Their 3 losses are against the Ravens, Steelers, and Raiders. So they're very much like the Eagles. They've beaten the bad teams and haven't beaten the good teams. So I think the Eagles probably fall in between the opponents that the Broncos have played so far. So how the Broncos do the next 3 weeks against the Browns, the football team, and the Cowboys will say a lot. As of right now, I will pencil this in as a win for the Eagles, but I'm not sure that they're going to be favored against Denver. So we'll have to wait and see exactly how that shakes out. But right now, week 10, I have the Eagles going into Denver and beating the Broncos. Now, week 11. This is another tough one, I think. The Saints come into Philadelphia. I'm not a big Saints guy. I've never been a Jameis Winston guy. I don't think any of you listening have been a big Jameis Winston guy, although I do remember that game when he was with the Bucks, where he, I think, threw 5 touchdown passes in Philadelphia. And I think the Saints have been a little bit better than I expected. They are 3-2. They've destroyed the Packers in week 1 and dominated the Patriots in week 3. So they've beaten some good teams. They've also lost to the Giants and the Panthers. They did beat Washington. So they are a weird team. It seems like week in and week out, you never know what you're going to get from them. Sean Payton has had the Birds' number in recent seasons. That's why I feel like this one's a loss. I think New Orleans will come into Philadelphia and hand the Eagles an L. So I have the Eagles losing against the Saints in week 11. I also don't think, now we're getting into the part of the schedule where the Eagles are facing a lot of their divisional opponents, and so they're going to get the Giants twice here at the end of the season. In week 12, the Eagles go to New York to take on the Giants, and I just don't think this Eagles team is good enough to sweep the Giants. As bad as the Giants are, I'm not sure the Eagles are a whole lot better, and I think they will go into New York and lose this game. I think there are a fair number of head coaches right now that you could really say have been the worst head coaches in the NFL. Nick Sirianni has been one of them, and Joe Judge has been one of them. Urban Meyer is another one. But I think those two guys are right there. I think this is Joe Judge's last season with the Giants. It's been a disaster there. They have a lot of injury issues, but despite upgrading their offensive weapons this offseason, it has not translated into wins on the field. With all their flaws, I think the Eagles are a slightly better team than the Giants, but I don't think they'll sweep them. So I'm giving the Giants the win at home in this particular game. I have the Eagles getting revenge at home in week 15. Eagles at the Jets in week 13. Unless Zach Wilson explodes at some point over the next few weeks, I just cannot see the Eagles losing to the Jets, even on the road. So I have the Eagles winning that game. I also have the Eagles winning the home game against Washington, their first game against Washington this year. And what a fraud team Washington has been, right? I mean, their defense was supposed to be one of the best in the NFL, but they have been awful. And they won the NFC East last year, but we have to remember they did it with a losing record. They're not good. And they are a mess on offense. Terry McLaurin has not been 100% healthy. Chris Samuel is supposed to be a guy that came in and really helped them and has not been available. And so they are a mess at quarterback also with Taylor Heinicke. Once Fitzpatrick went down, Heinicke's gone in there and, you know, he's had some good moments, but he's largely just not a good enough quarterback to win week in and week out. So I don't think Heinicke will even be the starter by the time week 14 rolls around. I don't know who it'll be, but I'll give the Eagles the home win here. But I do feel like the Washington will return the favor in 2 weeks. So week 15, I have the Eagles beating the Giants at home, but then I have the Eagles losing to Washington in the nation's capital. And then comes down to week 17, the Cowboys at the Eagles in Philadelphia. It really does depend on how badly the Cowboys need this game. It's a tightly packed NFC at the top right now. I know there's a possibility the Cowboys could be resting their starters, and if that's the case, the Eagles have a decent shot at winning that game. But depending on where the Eagles are, battling for draft position, the Eagles might rest most of their starters in this game too. And the Cowboys could very well be fighting for home field advantage throughout the playoffs in this game. The Eagles could be fighting for a top 10 draft pick if some of the games I expect them to win don't come to fruition. So I think that I think Dallas will win. I'm going to predict a win in the final game of the season in Philadelphia against the Eagles, because I do think there is a stronger chance that the Cowboys will have something to play for than the Eagles will. And the Cowboys are just a really good football team this year, you know, as I predicted at the beginning of the season. So I'll also now get to my Las Vegas pick. And I do think the Eagles are going to go to Las Vegas, and I do think they're going to lose this game. I thought the Raiders played really well in their 34-24 win against the Broncos last week. At 4-2, they're in good shape to move that to 5-2. Now, as I mentioned during my talk with Matt just a minute ago, this is a letdown possibility for Las Vegas. And I do think that's a real thing. I am a believer in the letdown game. And coming off an emotional week where they got a big win against a divisional opponent, now they host an out-of-conference opponent. After going through all that emotion, there's going to be a letdown in the emotion by Las Vegas. It's just a matter of, can the Eagles play well enough to take advantage of what I think are going to be a number of Raiders mistakes on Sunday? And I just haven't seen enough from Nick Sirianni as a play caller, and I haven't seen enough from Jalen Hurts as a quarterback to tell me that they can go to Las Vegas and beat a team that's a decent football team in the Raiders. And we still don't know exactly what the Raiders are now with John Gruden not there. Might be a benefit for them if he's not there. It might really hurt them. But I do think Las Vegas is going to struggle a little bit this week. I think it'll be a close game between these two teams, but I do like the Raiders to edge the Eagles just slightly. I think it's going to be something along the lines of 24-21. I think the Eagles are going to have a hard time scoring. When the Eagles do get in the red zone, they do score touchdowns, but so much of the games that we've seen over these last few weeks, Jalen Hurts is just leaving a lot of plays on the field, and Nick Sirianni with the RPOs and the lack of a running game and the screens all over the place, it's a high school offense, and until I see some improvement, I just don't feel good about picking the Eagles to go on the road against a pretty good team and pull out a victory. So with a loss against the Raiders here on Sunday afternoon, I will say that I have the Birds finishing at 7-10, and that is with the easiest schedule in the NFL. I just don't see how you've seen enough from this Eagles team to predict them to beat a whole bunch of bad teams here. I think they're going to split with the Giants. I think they're going to split with Washington. And those are games where you would think maybe the Eagles have a chance of sweeping those teams. I just don't see it. I just don't see it, guys. And, you know, you've got teams like the Saints, who I think are a little better than the Birds at the moment. Some of these are home games. So, yes, maybe they do switch, you know, and that Broncos game, I could see that going another direction. Certainly, if the Eagles go into Las Vegas on Sunday, I'll feel a lot better about those games. But where things stand right now, I have the Birds finishing 7-10, and that's with the easiest schedule in the NFL. Will that be enough for Nick Sirianni to avoid being a one-and-done coach? We'll see, but I also know that it'll move the Eagles down the draft board quite a bit, and that's not something that I really want to see either. So I'd rather see this team either flame out, get a really high draft pick, move on from Nick Sirianni if he's not going to be the guy. But of course, maybe we see some good things from Sirianni moving forward, and as a result, some good things from Jalen Hurts and this offense, and you know, maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. But 7-10 with the easiest schedule in the NFL, and that's with an Eagles loss this Sunday afternoon against the Raiders out in Sin City. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this edition of Eye on the Enemy. My thanks to Matt Holder once again for joining me on the podcast. Folks, check out bleedinggreennation.com every single day for the latest news, notes, and rumors on your Birds, and also check out silverandblackpride.com for all the latest information on the Raiders as well. Check out all of the podcasts we have for you at the Bleeding Green Nation podcast feed. Tell your friends to download, subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcasts. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time here on Eye on the Enemy.
cheese.